This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Tyler Aki and Shay Norling with you until 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. The Cubs fall again, Shay. 3-2 at the hands of the Cincinnati Reds. They've now dropped two in a row to open up this four-game series. There are 7-14 in the division so far this season. That's by far and away the worst winning percentage inside the NL Central in division games. And when I look at this Cubs team after what I saw last night, and Miguel Amaya was oh so close to tying that game up, but they are stuck. This team is as stuck as can be right now, and I don't know if there is a path out of this right now to getting into and making a significant run in the playoffs.
What's the better word right now, stuck or stink? Because, Tyler, this team stinks. And there's a reason, like I said yesterday, I bet the Reds at 8-1 to win this division. And I can't see a world where the Cubs are going to be better than the Reds or the Brewers the rest of the way. Like, I know people are hating on the Reds. The owner doesn't want to spend money. They are playing really good baseball. The run differential suggests that they're for real. It's a little bolstered by their hot streak right now, but they were supposed to be a pretty good team coming in. Now they're putting it all together, and the Cubs are going the opposite direction. Dude, I don't know how this gets better. And I did some math this morning.
Ooh,
I ran, Yeah, I ran some numbers because I keep hearing from people on this station who will remain nameless that, well, at some point the hitters are going to go to the back of the baseball card. They're going to be who they are. They'll get the numbers right. What number as hitters in 2024 do we care most about? Probably OPS, right?
OPS plus is, yeah. Mm-hmm. OPS plus is fine. Lumped together.
OPS plus is basically your OPS weighted against league average. It's the same statistic. But typically, over a 162-game season, right now offense across the league off to a slower start than usual. But when you play a 162-game season, average OPS is going to hover right around 750, right?
Yeah.
So let's look at a guy.
Yeah.
Let's look at a guy like Cody Bellinger, who has a career OPS of 825.
Yeah.
Right now he's got an OPS 769. It's good, but it's not what you're paying Cody Bellinger to do. If you want Cody Bellinger to finish the season with his career average OPS, he has to go at an 859 clip the rest of the season.
Okay.
Man. He has gone over that number three times in his career. Twice before COVID. Gets worse if I look at some others. You want to go Dansby Swanson, who's currently at an abhorrent 614 OPS. You want to get him to his career average 733. He's got to go at an 800 clip the rest of the season. He's done that twice in his career.
Dansby's never been one of those. Like, you have Dansby on your team to play defense, and that's why I was vehemently against the money that's been given to him.
Right, and when you're a career 733 OPS guy and I need you to go 800 just to get back to your career average, you're in trouble. How about Ian Happ? Ian Happ's career average 791. He's 712 right now. He's got to go 841 the rest of the year to get back to his career average. The point I'm making is when you hear people like Jesse said it, Cap said it, Sylvie said it, when you hear people say at some point they'll get back to the baseball card, that is typically true. Like in a 162-game season, you're going to be what you are more often than you're not. Right now, none of these guys are who they've been for their career. But I'm just making the point, they can regress to the mean and they'll still be well below their career average OPSs. You're asking these three guys to basically have career-best seasons the rest of the way. Just to get to their average numbers. You are at a point now with the Cubs. Like, this is where, when Cap says the panic button's not out, and I'm like, it's got to be out. You've got, what, a month to decide what you're going to be at the deadline? Panic button's got to be out. right now you are banking on becoming the 2019 Nationals, or you stink.
Listen, there's nothing that this team is doing well right now aside from starting pitching, and even that's starting to go a little bit. We saw Javier Assad get touched up a little. We saw Shota get touched up the last couple of times out, and we knew that they weren't going to be 1.5 ERA guys the rest of the way, but when you're doing it against a team like the White Sox, and then you see Assad go out there against the Reds and get lit up too, like, all of this coming together is, it's all happening at the wrong time because this offense cannot score right now. They're stuck. And I don't know what the move is because you don't have a lot of pieces that you can really trade out there. And even look at where you are right now. If the season were to end today, you're in a three-way tie for the final playoff spot. I'm not saying that this team is can't make the playoffs. They certainly can make the playoffs, but are they going to be able to go out there and win a series against the Phillies or the Dodgers? No. Right now, the Phillies, Dodgers, and even the Braves are in a completely different stratosphere than the rest of the NL right now. And I know the Brewers' record looks good. I'm not as afraid of the Brewers as some people. But the way that the NL is right now, the three best teams are in a league of their own, and everything else is so open right now that this team can still make the playoffs. I'm not as concerned about that, but at what cost? Listen, if you're going to try to make the playoffs, it can't be with this roster. Something has to be done, and you can't half-ass it like you did last year where you didn't make an actual attempt to go out and get relief pitching. You only brought in Jose Quas and said, you know what, maybe some of these minor leaguers can come up and do something for us. The move last year to get Jamer Candelario was good, but that couldn't have been your only move of significance at the deadline. And I'm afraid that we're going to get to a certain point, especially because the way that the MLB trade deadline is now, now that we get more teams into the playoffs, there's six playoff teams now. Now that we're at that point, there's less and less sellers out there because there's still teams who the carrot is dangled for. They think they can get in. So, I mean, it's kind of like what the Cubs did last year. They thought they could get in, and they very well could have gotten into the playoffs last year. They thought they could get in, so what did they do at the deadline? They were more in the buyer market than they were in the seller's market. And we're only going to see more and more of that. So if you want to go out and make a move of consequence, you're going to have to pony up. And it's nice to have the farm system, the stability within your farm system to make a move like that. But I haven't seen the willingness to go out and make a real big time move that's going to alter this season. That's not where this team is right now.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, because like we can say we all expected them to make the playoffs, right? We wanted them to make the playoffs.
Not just make the playoffs. They should win the division.
Win the division. I think we all put that expectation on them. I think it was fair to do that. But then we have to remember, like, opening day and the weeks leading up, what Jed Hoyer was saying, they didn't spend in free agency. The budget wasn't there to go and get guys like a Matt Chapman or a Jordan Montgomery. Not that Montgomery's been any good so far, but I'm making the point. Jed was telling us, we don't feel like we're there yet. We don't have the budget to go out and make some of these high-profile signings right now. That's what their story was. So my question for you, Tyler, like, you're a Cubs fan. Do you really buy that in Jed Hoyer's ideal world, they're at a point where they can gut this farm a little bit and buy players to make a playoff push? Or is standing pat and trying to develop the youth more in line with what Jed's hoping for out of this season?
I would guess the latter there, where he wants to see some of this youth come to the big leagues. Maybe you get a Matt Shaw this year, an Owen Casey this year. Who knows what the status with Cade Horton is now with all these injuries that he's accumulating over the course of this season. But you're not a prospect away from going out and winning anything right now. Like, prospects are not the course of action here that you should be aspiring to. You should go out and try to make a move and get some thump in this lineup. They need some sort of bat right now because there is zero power. I know they've hit a couple home runs as of late. You've had some windy days at Wrigley against the White Sox, and then I mean, the bandbox that is Great American Ballpark, the ball flies out of there every single game. So you're not really impressing me with anything. But getting back to something that you said a little bit earlier, in terms of they were content with their roster, they knew they weren't ready to make a huge leap, but they were sort of content with their roster there. I think it's because they looked at the NL Central and just kind of laughed at what the competition was. They laughed at the fact that the Cardinals have not done anything and got a casket of a starting pitching rotation. They laughed at the fact that the Reds didn't look like they had any pitching heading into this year. They laughed at the fact that the Brewers, it felt like, were purging their roster, and the Pirates are still a little too far away from actually being in the thick of things right now, and they thought they could coast to being the best of a bad bunch, and then you get into the playoffs and the Diamondbacks showed everyone last year that, oh, all you got to do is get in and maybe your pitching can catch a heater. That's what this team went into the season trying to do, trying to get lucky. And if you're just going to rely on luck, it's not a formula for success. And that's why this team is where it is right now. It's a very flawed baseball team, very flawed. And well, I think things are going to get worse in certain departments. Listen, yeah, I think the hitting's going to get a little bit better. I'm not expecting this over the course of 162. I'm not telling you they're going to look like the Phillies or the Dodgers, but it's going to be better than this. Starting pitching is not holding up like this the rest of the way. It's not. We're starting to see it turn south for some of these guys right now. I think it'll get a little bit better for Justin Steele. He had another nice outing last night, at least an outing that was good enough to win in. He did a lot better last night, but I don't, for the rest of these guys, it's going to go south before you get a real, real strong starting rotation all put together.
And by the way, the bullpen has been solid for about a month and a half now. Like, it's just, when you look at the big picture, sure, if there have been blow-ups, the blown saves have been an issue. But the big picture of the bullpen, it's been solid for about a month and a half. The problem with this club is offense. They don't hit. And you look around the National League, like you were bringing up, dude, they're not on the level of the Phillies or the Dodgers, certainly, or the Braves. Do you feel good even playing against the Padres? And you're going to stare down the barrel in a best of five or a three-game series? You might have to look down the barrel of Michael King, Dylan Cease, and potentially Garrett Crochet.
Well, and you, Darvish, too, part of that mix when he's healthy, and Joe Musgrove. Listen, I
bring them up because they're a team that went out and bought Luis Arraez in May.
Yeah. A very unorthodox move to see a trade of that magnitude that early. Listen, the Padres, they're a curious team because they act in peculiar ways every single year. And listen, in a five-game series, I think it's sort of a toss-up there. But you look at the rest of the NL in terms of, like, the top dogs, this team's not an advancing through the playoffs type of team, given what's in the NL. I mean, the NL right now is a wagon when you look at the best of the best. Like, if you told me right now you have to take the NL or the AL to win the World Series, I think both you and I are in agreement. It's an NL year.
I really like the Yankees, but yes, you know, but there's, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
the chance, like, the Yankees are one, but if the Yankees were to somehow fall out because the Guardians luck their way into another deep playoff run like they did in 2016 because of the pitching and stuff like that. Like, if the Guardians have a plucky playoff series to get past the Yankees, the NL is going to have the much stronger team because there's a crop of, like, three to pick from.
Well, yeah, and that's, like, you could be, the idea that their goal was being the Diamondbacks always bothered me. And the amount that they referenced that bothered me. That feels like something unserious teams do. Oh, we can be good enough to just barely get in. And then, hey, anything can happen. Like, or you could try to be good enough to be dominant and see what happens. I would, as a fan, like, sure, did Arizona make this run to the World Series last year? Of course. But the team that won it spent $1 billion in their offseason.
Yeah.
I'd rather be that team. And people can look at the Rangers. Well, clearly that wasn't sustainable. They're having a terrible year. They've also got 100 guys on IL.
And guess like, what? Things aren't going well for the Diamondbacks right now either.
Right. This idea, like, oh, well, the Diamondbacks, they built it young. That's going to be sustainable. It won't be a pop-up. I believe more in what the Rangers have in full health than I believe in what the Diamondbacks built, to be honest. This idea that you can just be good enough to squeak in and anything can happen, you're lessening your margin for error by so much when your goal is to be one of the teams that sneaks in. If anything happens to you, you don't have the depth to recover from it. And then you can't sneak in. You're going to be outside looking in. Or we're going to be sitting here on June 8th going, you've got about 3 weeks to turn this sucker around, or we have to have a serious conversation about if we can afford to be buyers.
Yeah.
That's where the panic button comes in.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk Cubs with us.
I do have a trade offer I want to run by you.
Okay.
I have a player that, a little news last night, I don't know if a lot of people saw it or are aware of it. I want to offer it to you next.
I've got another player who I don't think people are talking about as much that I think the Cubs should look at. I'm not saying necessarily make the move, but I think it's an intriguing player to look at for the Cubs. So we'll do all this trade conversation. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. It's Tyler and Shay.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Night that is now 4-11 in their last 15, and two of those came against Chicago White Sox, barely a major league franchise at this point. Although congrats to them, snap the streak.
Oh man,
we'll have to talk about that in just a second too, because
the road to 24 is over. It's so sad.
It's not over. You think they're not going to encroach upon that number again this year?
I don't, no.
No?
I think it's so hard to lose 14 straight, man. Doing it again.
Look at that roster. They may just start up a new losing streak tonight. I bet you they have another double-digit losing streak this season.
They may, but I'm just sad.
It's okay. There's a lot of baseball left to play.
I really wanted the road to 24 to happen.
See, like the Cubs fans are saying there's a lot of baseball left to play in terms of their push for a wild card spot or maybe even get back into the division conversation. But for you, there's a lot of baseball left to be played to get to the road to 24.
I'm hoping. Yeah, somebody just said not over till game 138. Then, then we can call it.
Yeah.
What it is. Well, if they trade Crochet, and here, I'll offer
up. It ain't getting better, all right? That roster is not improving.
Well, I told you I had an offer. I mean, last night, little news. Now I'll say it was John Heyman. And you may think John Heyman is a horse's ass after the arson judge post.
Mm-hmm. And but didn't he have the Ohtani's on a jet to Toronto?
Yes. I'm not saying that John Heyman's been the greatest of all newsbreakers, but I'm just saying this is out there. You can find this. John Heyman says that the White Sox are actively looking for packages to trade Luis Robert Jr.
Mm.
If you're the Cubs, do you get involved?
Luis Robert, listen, I love Luis Robert. I think he's fantastic.
I'm in.
I'm in on making a move for Luis Robert.
It's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you a lot.
You're going to have to give up either PCA or Cade Horton, plus probably Michael Bush or Matt Shaw, plus probably another one or two prospects.
I don't know if it's that much, because think about it. The way that position players have been moved lately, it's not like what it used to be. I don't think you'll have to give up that much. And plus, like, pieces off the major league roster, I don't think you're going that far for a Luis Robert.
The issue, though, like, you can look at what's the best comp we can make. Like, Luis Arraez is kind of, I guess, similar. Luis Arraez is a batting title. But you're getting a guy who, in Robert, under contract this year, under contract next year, and then you have multiple club options in 26 and 27.
Yeah.
You have control of this player till 2028.
Team-friendly, too.
If you can just keep him healthy, you're getting... Like, if he's healthy, he's, what, a top five center fielder? You're talking about getting...
I would say, what, top three, maybe?
You're talking about getting one of the best players in the sport at the position on a team-friendly deal for the next four seasons, barring some incredible collapse either in health or in play. you're going to have to give up a bunch. And, like, giving up PCA might hurt, but
if you ask me right now, if you ask me right now, do you want, for the next 4 years, do you want Luis Robert or PCA? This is a no-brainer to me.
You want Luis Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I trade, like, if it costs you Luis Robert, or Luis Robert Jr. is going to cost you PCA and Matt Shaw. Would you do it?
PCA and Matt Shaw.
Give up your future at third base, but it's not like he's coming up anytime soon anyway.
He could make his way up this year, potentially.
Maybe, but we keep hearing how close he is. They keep rocking with Christopher Morel at third base.
If you told me that you could give up Cade Horton instead of Matt Shaw, I'd do it. Just because the Cade Horton health stuff right now, and again, it's something that the White Sox would obviously be privy to, but the Cade Horton health stuff right now, it's just one thing after another, one thing after another. So I'm always more apt to trade away pitching prospects, especially now. Like if I'm the A's, if I get a really good offer for Mason Miller, I'm unloading him because these guys' elbows are ticking time bombs at this point.
Yeah.
All of them. And they're just waiting to detonate, and you've got Neil Elitrock on line one. Like, that's what you're working with these days. It's the fact of what pitching is. Like,
when I watch Paul Skeens at Wrigley, I'm like, boy, this is awesome. But this guy's got
about to miss an entire season of baseball.
2-3 months before his arm explodes.
Exactly. That's what it is now. So
the Mason Miller thing, I'd go for him. Like, it just, are you a tin stop guy? I don't think I've ever had this conversation.
Tin
stop. If people don't, it's a long acronym. There is no such thing as a pitching prospect.
Okay.
Basically, all these guys are the same, and you never know. They'll hit the league, and they'll either be amazing or they'll be garbage. But banking on them being amazing typically doesn't work unless you have somebody like Paul Skeens who's just going to fast track through. That's where, with Cade Horton, I don't want to hug him too hard.
Yeah.
If I'm a Cubs fan, I don't want to hug any of these guys too hard. I feel like we have an opportunity right now to make the team better and make a run in a bad division.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Listen, the pitching prospects, I never have reservations about parting with a pitching prospect. Listen, you're going to be wrong sometimes, right? And the Cubs have been on the right side of a lot of teams' bad luck. Think about two of the best pitchers that they've had in the last decade. In Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks. Those were just little throw-ins or smaller parts of deals, and they ended up being two of the best pitchers in Cubs history with the runs that they did some historic stuff with the Cubs, and it culminated in winning a World Series. But I'm not shy from parting with a pitching prospect, especially these days. 5-7 years ago, you could have talked me to the other side, but now, in this climate of pitching with driveline and everything that's messing up these guys' arms and elbows and everything, I'm all right moving on. I'm all right. I can get behind it.
It's like playing hot potato. You move these pitching prospects around. Somebody else hold on to this thing for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's getting a little warm in my hands. Go here.
And listen, you'll be wrong on some, right? You'll be wrong on a guy and he'll make an all-star team or a couple.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to happen. That's the nature of when you are a trader. You're going to lose at times, but you have to go out and make some moves. And that's where this team sits right now. Can I give you the name that I was thinking too for a trade?
Absolutely.
Now, this is not the only move you make. This has to be part of a larger group of moves, and it's not going to cost you anything. We've talked about Elias Diaz as being a easy move to make, not going to cost you much at catcher. You want some thump in your lineup? How about a guy that gives you that's given whatever team he's been on a lot of power over the last, what, 5-7 years? JD Martinez. Can I talk into JD Martinez?
I'm in.
I know he's old, but guess what? The guy has been an all-star the last 3 years. He's been off to, he was injured to start the year, but he's hitting the ball pretty well so far this season in his limited sample size right now. So
he's a consistent bat. He has been for years.
Yeah.
Every contender, everybody who believes they have a contention.
You know who he is now? He's the new Nelson Cruz. And guess what? Nelson Cruz was damn good for a long time.
Yep.
And I think that this is, he's not going to cost you anything. He's on an expiring deal. He's a designated hitter. He's 30, what, how old is he? 36 years old. He'll be 37 in August. That's the move. And again, this can't be your only move, because if you, this is your only move, then you're half-assing it and it's not worth it.
It's Candelario at the deadline
right,
all over again.
Exactly. And I'd even say it's less than that because he doesn't play the field. Candelario gave you all sorts of defensive flexibility last year, first, third. But with J.D. Martinez, this could be a power option that you put in your lineup and say, you know what, if you can get me 17 home runs the rest of the year and then get me 20 doubles or 25 doubles the rest of the year, you're looking at a really, really lineup-altering move there. I know, like, Pete Alonso's the sexy name off the Mets.
I was just going to ask where you land on that.
Ultimately, does Pete Alonso change how you think of the Cubs in the division? Frankly, the division doesn't matter. Does Pete Alonso change how you think about the Cubs in terms of making a run to get to the World Series? The answer's no for me.
Probably not meaningfully, but if you got both of them.
Listen,
what if you got both J.D. Martinez and Pete Alonso? I mean, the Mets have apparently been told, like they're reporting around this now, they're not getting a haul for any of their guys.
No.
Alonso on an expiring deal, J.D. on an expiring deal. They want to ship both of them. Nobody is interested in giving them a big package back. Like, that's, could you get both? Because then I look a little differently at you.
Yeah, well, then you talk about fixing your power in one trade. I mean, that fixes your power right there. And with Michael Bush and his up and down nature, listen, I think there's a place for Michael Bush in Major League Baseball. I don't know if it's necessarily right now being up with the big league club. He's so up and down. He's had his moments where he's looked really good. He had the homer streak. I still think he gives you some quality at bats, but the strikeouts, I mean, he looks overmatched in a number of at bats. He does. He can't hit things that are away, and I think pitchers are getting privy to that. And you're starting to see it bear out. He had a nice game last night, 2-for-3, but, and I think he has a good eye. I think he's a patient guy. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I feel like I see him take either a late inning walk or strikeout. It feels like every single time it's a walk or a strikeout late in the game at some point. And I just think, though, that if you have got the ability to get a Pete Alonso, and if you can tack on J.D. Martinez as well, you've got one of, if not the best farm system in all of baseball. It's time to part with some of these pieces, because at this point you're window shopping with them. They're not making, and if you look at too how the pieces are constructed within the farm system, there's a lot of blocked paths to the major leagues.
Bingo.
Right now.
I was just going to say.
It's a lot of middle infield. I mean, even guys like Matt Shaw's switching positions, so he has a faster track to the major leagues. He was a college shortstop. You think college shortstop, naturally, you could go second base in the pros. Sure, like third base is in the cards, but it's a little bit of a different transition there. Like Nico Horner was a college shortstop. He moved his way to second base, and I think Nico, I mean, a couple years ago, before they got Cody Bellinger, the rumor was that he was going to test his luck out in center field, and I think Nico could be a fine center fielder as well. Not where I would love to put him, but if you had to in a pinch, I think he could play center for you. But there's a lot of middle infielders in this organization right now, and the fact of the matter is you've got dead weight at shortstop with the money that's allocated there.
Yep.
Dansby Swanson has not produced since becoming a Chicago Cub. He's been fantastic in the field, but even this year, the fielding's dipped off a little bit, and it just has not, it has not paid off the way that you thought it would. It's looking like a Hayward 2.0 contract at this point.
Well, and that's where I look at this whole situation, and I feel like Jed has painted himself into a corner a little bit. You've kind of got two choices right now. You can either start gutting this farm system, which I think is philosophically against what Jed wants to do, but you can start gutting this farm system and go and get some actual bats that would make me look at the lineup different. Like, can you, this is fantasy baseball now, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just gut this thing, one of the best farm systems in baseball, and July 30th, we're looking at Pete Alonso and Luis Robert Jr. on this team and maybe another piece, I look at you a lot differently than I look at you today. But that's one option that I think is philosophically against Jed Hoyer's principles. The other option is you start selling guys like Nico Horner and clearing paths for your youth to come up and play. What does that really do to your window? Are you looking at another 2 or 3 years before we can realistically say this is a World Series capable roster that you can spend money on?
Yeah, I mean, moving Nico, and it's not something I would do. I would not trade Nico Horner. He's a known quantity for me right now. Dependable, one of your best base stealers. I'm not in the, all right, let's try to shuffle the deck with Nico Horner. I think it's a futile exercise at that point. And I look at those other guys in the minor leagues. I would be more apt to trade some of those guys. And I would ride with a guy that I know in Nico Horner. That's the group that I would stick with. I think that's the way that Judge should go. And it's time to move on from some of these prospects, because at the end of the day, you have to start finding guys that make impacts for you at the major league level. And right now, with some of these minor leaguers and the way that things are blocked off to a certain degree, unfortunately, you're pigeonholed into a shortstop issue for the next 5 years and change,
yep.
It feels like.
It's brutal, man. Like, stuck.
And this
stuck
is what
is
scares
the right
me,
thing
too.
To call him.
You know, everyone looks at Jerry and says, oh, Jerry will never spend money again because look at the last three big contracts he's handed out, if you include the Bulls. It's Zach LaVine, it's Yasmani Grandal, and it's Andrew Benintendi, and none of them have worked out, right? Well, Tom Ricketts could look at the same thing and think the same exact thing. Three of the biggest contracts that he's handed out recently have flopped. Think about it. You have Dansby Swanson, not looking good early. Jason Hayward gave you a hell of a speech, didn't do all that much else at the plate. And then Yu Darvish, who struggled at the beginning, became good, and then you moved on from him. All of that put together right there, it's frustrating because it feels like this team is stuck right now, and unless there's a willingness to spend some money, they're going to continue to be stuck.
Yep.
It's just the way it is. All right. When we come back, we almost kicked Justin Pottinger out of our group chat yesterday. We came very close. He committed a cardinal gambling sin.
He's a bad friend.
He is a bad friend. We'll talk about that coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Real quick before we get into the debacle with Potsy, I've got a surprise for you, Shay.
Oh, boy.
Eddie's on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Oh, God. Eddie, what's up, buddy?
Well, I don't think we have Eddie.
Oh no,
tough
Eddie.
Scene for Eddie. He's usually ready to go.
He is.
Oh, well.
He's always ready.
All right. Well, that puts the heat back on you, Pottinger. Because what you did yesterday...
He was almost out of the woods, Potsy.
What you did yesterday, I could not believe.
I made a mockery of myself.
So, Shay, why don't you lay out exactly what you proposed yesterday?
All right, well, yesterday morning I woke up and I was just going through the MLB odds board, as I typically do, and I noticed that the White Sox were favored amid a 14-game losing streak against the Red Sox. And I immediately was like, I think that's a must-play game. Like, when it goes back to in the college basketball season, when Detroit Mercy was a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
And they'd won, what, like three games or no games?
I think they were winless. Won. Yeah, they were winless. Yeah.
And I'm
they
like,
stormed
that's
the floor, remember?
Automatic wager. When a team that bad is favored, you have to bet them. Like, this is an automatic, it's stealing money, basically. So yesterday, the White Sox are favored. I'm like, I have to bet them. Even though I'm on the road to 24, if I pay and they lose and the road to 24 continues, well, then I paid for the bit. But it was an automatic have to bet thing. So I sent it to the group chat, me, Potsy, and Charlie Bevins. And I said, boys, unity play. We are all betting the White Sox today. They're favored unbelievably, we got to be in on this. And if they lose, we're paying for the streak to continue. The bit continues. It's great. This guy, Potsy,
who
waits until, what was it, like 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah, like 1:30, yeah.
When the money is flipped, so the Red Sox are plus money now.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. I got to bet the Red Sox. You are
not
scum.
Just that. Not just that. How about the address on it, too?
What did I say?
Sorry, boys. Decided Red Sox. Can't pass up plus money.
You are scum.
Douche. Like, that is...
Dude, you cannot tell me that was not the right move, though, at the time. I mean...
Yes, plus, I can.
It wasn't the right move. Fade the White Sox? Are you kidding me?
I texted you at 6 in the morning. I said, this is automatic.
Shea was in
it's
the trenches.
Our process. This is what we do, Potsy. You're scum.
Yeah. No, it was a bad play.
But
it
not
was,
just
it was a
that.
Horrible play.
Not just that. So
it was a horrible play.
Shea offers up the play. He plays it himself. Chardog, lock it in. He's in.
Charlie was all over it.
Me, I see that two people have jumped into the pool, so now all of a sudden my lemming ass goes into the pool.
Yeah, you have to.
And Potsy, I mean, what are you doing? This is cardinal sin number one, because let's call this what it is. This is a gambling group chat.
Yeah, sure.
It's what it is.
We basically
share plays in here.
Yeah.
This is cardinal sin number one of a gambling group chat.
Yeah, no, I know better. I know
do
better
you?
As
do
a gambler,
you know
as a friend. I do know better. You always do the squad ride. I saw plus money man against the White Sox, and I was a sucker. I took the bait. I was a sucker.
Dude, you're like a dog with a laser pointer in the room. If you see a plus against the White Sox, you're bouncing off the walls. You get the total zoomies.
It's a self-suspension. I'm taking a Aaron Rodgers retreat. I'm done for the month of June. I will not be betting. I need to take this break, not only for myself, but I need to work better to be a better friend in the betting community.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say it. I've had a horrible May. I don't know I've been horrible on
betting
in May.
Yeah,
because
you've been betting the Cubs every night.
Yeah, Cubs, it's been, I don't know, dude. I need to take a break.
Potsy, you're betting with your heart too much. You are officially, I'm putting the label on you. You need to take a break until you're no longer a mush. Because right now you are in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You know what? We're
going
to send you down to AAA. You know what that is? You just log plays on action, but you don't actually play them. We're sending you down to AAA. Get that swing right.
He's simulating until he can feel confident.
We're
sending him to the fall league.
This is what I would do if I was betting.
How about Thursday? I mean, Thursday morning, me, Tyler,
yes,
Charlie,
another one.
All
Thursday.
Talking about we
oh,
are bought
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Celtics, it's game one. Celtics are going to sledgehammer the Mavs. This is an easy play. Everybody's on Dallas. Potsy out of nowhere. Well, I gotta go with Kyrie. And I'm taking Dallas in the 7th.
Bro, I love Kyrie.
How'd that go?
Oh, that was bad. And you guys, you don't even want to know why I took the Mavs, too. It wasn't Kyrie. It was, I was joining another squad. It was a squad ride on the Mavs.
Oh, you're sleeping around.
I'm sleeping around. That was bad. Hey, I mean, I'm 2 units down sleeping around. I need to get back with the pack, dude. I'm suspending myself in June. I'm done.
Here's what you've learned now is your second squad of regular bleep holes.
That was such a horrible play.
Out them. I want names right now.
That was a horrible play.
Second squad of common bleep holes. They are leading you down a bad path. Tyler and I are here to put you under our wing and make you some money. And you're blowing us off for some common douche.
Yeah,
that,
no, they're casuals.
They're down a bad path.
They're casuals. It is what it is. They are, and I'm down at their level, man. I'm sad.
Stoop down to their level, and then they beat you with experience. That's what they did.
You guys got a winner today?
No, you're getting that swing right. You're getting that swing right now in Double A. All right, log an action play. We'll see how you
geez.
Do. You got to hit 5 in a row to come back up to the big leagues, all right?
Maybe hit a parlay.
You got to hit 5 in a row. Unbelievable. All right. Shea, we have not disclosed the fact that you are not here right now. I'm sure some people know if you're watching on YouTube, and check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to the page, youtube.com, ESPN Chicago. But you are away, and you've got a big party tonight. Let's discuss when we come back.
Oh, boy. This is Tyler and Shea on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
is usually the portion of the show where we thank Potsy for producing today.
Not thanking him today.
I don't think we can do it today. Jeez. Unbelievable behavior. You miss anything, check it out on the podcast. Shay, where are you right now?
I'm back in Detroit, Metro Detroit. My sister-in-law, so my wife's stepsister, is graduating high school this weekend. She had the ceremony yesterday.
Congratulations.
The grad party today. Quick 1-2, get it all done with, and we move on. I have to tell you, I went to the graduation ceremony yesterday.
Yeah.
Is there a worse event?
No.
In, like, all of humanity?
Because
than
you're there.
A high school graduation?
You're there. Well, any graduation. Because you're there to see one person. They get about 5 seconds of glory. Everyone's there to see their kid, brother, sister, what have you, grandchild, niece, nephew. They're there for 5 seconds. They're there to see 5 seconds of this thing. And it gets drawn out to be a 3-hour extravaganza.
It is so dumb. And like, I have a message for educators who are out in the world. Help these kids out with their speeches. For the love of God, these kids need some help. There were 6 speeches, 6 before the actual ceremony began. And they all started the exact same way. Before I begin my speech, I'd like to give some thank yous, 4 minutes of thank yous. And then now on to the speech. And it was the same, like, buzzwords. Class of 2024, you've exhibited resilience. You've learned so much. You've grown. We've did it. Like, somebody step in at some level and help these kids write a speech that makes sense. This is horrible. I was convinced at one point that I had maybe died and been sent to hell, and this was never going to end. It was going to be a never-ending train of student giving a speech. I was just stuck in this room.
That's the problem, though, is that you said there were 6 speeches?
Yeah, too
They're
many.
All the same.
It's 5.
It's the same
They're
speech.
All the same. It should be 1 speech, and then let's start reading some names, all right? Because how big was her her graduating class?
Not large. It was like 150 people.
Okay, so
and
that's not bad.
You got so lucky with
it. Still took
that.
90 minutes, the ceremony did. The whole thing, I was there for 90 minutes.
Okay, that's not bad. I think you've got a bad gripe here. I'm playing heel here. That's a bad gripe. 90 minutes for a graduation ceremony.
I know 3-hour high school graduation.
Yeah.
3 hour?
Yeah, dude. You got off lucky. How big was your graduating class?
Mine probably 400-ish.
Yeah, mine was probably the same.
Mine was 650.
But I don't
like
think it took 3 hours. I don't even remember it. It was
how
a blur.
How many speeches did you guys have?
Couldn't tell you. Wasn't listening. Might have been high. In fact,
the club.
I'm almost certain I was high. I don't think that I was paying that much attention.
Attaboy.
And then today I have the graduation party, which, again, like, I'm railing against graduations as a whole here. There is no worse party than a graduation party. You go with the people you came with. You hang out with those people. You see the person you're there for maybe 2-3 minutes the entire time. You eat some food and you go home. It's dumb. It makes no sense. They're awful.
That's the thing.
Across the board, bad.
Is like when you do have the graduation parties, all of a sudden you get put on a town tour. Where it's like, you've got 3 in a day, and it's like, ugh, do we really have to go to all 3 of these in a day? And it's spread out over the course of the summer. Like, yeah, you're rocketing from one to the next, and it's you're right. It is a pain in the ass.
I thought I was beyond the stage of my life where I was going to graduation parties. I think
but
this
now
is
you get
the last
family
one
ones,
for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank God. But yeah, the family grad party, oh, it's horrible.
But the family one's actually better than the friend one when it was like your grade that graduated, because when it was your grade, it was every single weekend. It occupied your weekends. Whereas like family, it's once. It's like
yeah,
once every couple of years.
And the family ones, you know more people. You see, it's like a kind of reunion type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
You see people you haven't seen in a while. You have a good time. I think the grad party is actually best for the kids who are in the same grade, because you can spend the summer bopping around town with your friends and getting free food.
I guess. I don't know. The grad party thing, when I graduated high school, I was so done with it at a certain point. It was fun for like the first couple, and then all of a sudden it was just like, I'd rather just hang out with my friends.
I feel like there wasn't too many for me. Like,
maybe you didn't have a lot of friends.
No, yeah, your friends all hated
it. No. I feel like that was more of a, none of the dudes really did those. I feel like.
What are you talking about?
Dude, like, none of my guy friends had, like, grad parties. Like,
so always, I can actually kind of get behind that. Yeah,
I none feel of like, my guy friends like, had grad parties. Like, I didn't have one.
I didn't have one.
Like, you maybe a family
neither
dinner.
Neither of you had a graduation party?
It was, like, no. A family dinner. Like, and, like, no, not like a grad, no.
No, we didn't have, like, the thing in the backyard or anything.
No, I had a couple
really?
female friends. Like, all of them, they all had theirs, but.
Dude, the grad parties, you missed out. The grad party's an all-time grift. I made like $2,500 on my grad party.
That's what I heard.
All I had
yeah.
to do was Dang. Achieve the bare minimum.
Yeah, what? Seize the pass and
just walk across the stage and don't shred that diploma.
You guys definitely missed out. You should have, like, this idea that grad parties are for women only is
all
stunning.
Right. Well,
to me.
That's not what was said. That's that is just
what it sounded
what
like.
Said.
Listen, Potsy hates women. Breaking news.
All right. Time to wrap up the show.
That's what I heard.
What did Potsy need the like? If he got $2,500, it's all go. He's not having a grad
party. He's blowing it on Cubs.
Yeah, he's not having a grad party. His bookie is. So.
All right. Any more shots here?
Bookie's getting a new pair of shoes, Potsy.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you next week. The CDGA Golf Show is coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.